We now turn to Paul's letter to Timothy, second letter to Timothy, chapter 3. Second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, and we begin from verse 1. It says, and we read already, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." It is said that 2 Timothy was probably Paul's last letter before he died. And so really what he writes here can be taken as his last will and testimony. And also what we are saying is that we have the words of a dying man who knows that, or who knew at that time, that his days were numbered. And many people think that after he had written 2 Timothy, Paul was martyred. Paul had previously written to Timothy and explaining to him that, I'll provide quite an extensive background before we get to the real issues. The title of our message tonight is Dangerous and Perilous Times. Dangerous and Perilous Times. So Paul had previously written to Timothy, explained that the local church is the pillar and the foundation for the proclamation of God's word. And I don't think we need to say more about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Timothy 3:15, that's what he said. And he said that the purpose of the local church was the proclamation of God's word, the God's truth to the world. And he also said the purpose of the leaders in the church was the exposition of God's truth in the church. But then, as he wrote this letter, the certain conditions in the church and that environment were begin to change. And there were a lot of characteristics which becoming obvious to Paul. And these were the things that he wrote about. There were a lot of godlessness, worldliness, that was beginning to invade the church. And he felt that he must write about these things, because if they did not do so, then the whole purpose of the church could be troubled. And of course, we know that that was not possible. But yes, but he needed to be warned. He also noted that if the leaders failed to expound the truth of God's word to the saints in the church, there will be challenges for their Christian growth. Consequently, Paul wrote this letter to encourage Timothy. And Timothy at that time also was the leader of the church in Ephesus. And so he writes to them, not only them to them at that time, but also to us today, that we should live as Christians and work for the Lord. And perhaps contained in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we say that what is contained here should probably be preached in every church every 6 months or every 3 months, because the signs of the times of the last days are with us, and they challenge us on a regular basis. And the deception that has gone on, especially in a country like ours, something that we need to realize and note. So we are blessed, I must say, that in this church, aspects of these last days issues are often highlighted in some of the preachings and some of the teachings that goes on here. But it's important that we are aware that Paul was warning Timothy about the things that were happening in those days. So he said, again, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And this know also, what he's saying is, this realize, understand this, take note of this, that things will happen and things are happening in the last days. And of course, you may ask, what is the last days? The last days, as at least the Bible scholars do say, is a term that is used to express the length of time from the period that Jesus was ascended to heaven and the time that he will come back. So the time that Jesus went to heaven and the time that he will come back, that gap, including the time that we are here, is regarded as the last day, when he will return bodily in his glory in his second coming. And the reason why Paul wrote this to Timothy was that, as I think He wanted him to understand the characters of the things that will happen in the last days. And as I said, the last days continue to now. And as a matter of fact, the things of the last days get worse and worse each period, each generation. But yet the elements are still the same. So he was warning Timothy to understand the character of the days and also what to expect and also what to prepare for. And I think it's very encouraging. Encouragement in the sense that when you are told as to what to expect and what is going to happen, obviously it is likely that you'll be prepared for it. Unfortunately, the church in general, the universal church, has seen serious challenges here in that respect. So the last days, as we've mentioned, that period between when Jesus ascended to heaven and his return, which no one knows, is all part of the last day. And the New Testament talks about it. Maybe one or two references for those who are taking notes, that in 1 Peter 1:19-20, 1 Peter 1:19-20, it talks about the last days. Hebrews 1:2, it talks about the last days. Hebrews 1:1-2, it talks about the last days. Again, 2 Peter 3:3, it talks about the last days. But as I said, he spoke about the last days, spoke about what was going to happen, so that he will not be discouraged. Because it's not easy for us as Christians. Sometimes we get into serious challenges, and it's not easy. And he's saying that it's so that Timothy will not be discouraged. So what he's saying to Timothy is that, I'm going to sort of paraphrase all this, and then we'll get to the details of what he's saying to us here in chapter 3. He says, Timothy, it's not going to be easy. That is, he's telling the church. It's not going to be easy in the last days. And he goes on. Don't expect the world to stay out of the church. The world will want to come in to the church. The world wants its systems and its formulas and its whatever to be part of the church. So he's telling Timothy, be careful. It's going to happen. It's going to challenge you. And today, are we surprised? The other day I was in a church somewhere and there were, I don't know what they could say. A disco church or whatever it is, but there were all kinds of lights, blue light, yellow light, flying, moving on the skies and whatnot. I don't know. And he found all these clowns which are brought in to come and do all kinds of singing and all kinds of things, thinking that they are doing things for God. And this is what is happening. Many, many things are happening. So he's telling Timothy, be careful. The world will not stay out of the church. Also, he says, Timothy, don't think that the church will go unhindered. There will be false prophets. There will be false teaching. Not just prophets only, but there could be false teaching. And therefore, you should expect difficult days ahead of you. And then he goes on. Even your congregation, warn them that they will have the right attitude. Because without the right attitude, most of us will lose track of what is going on. So he says, be careful. That's what he's trying to warn them. So he warns them about the right attitude. He warns them about being discerning, spiritual discernment for them. He warns them about the fake prophets and also those who preach God's word. And it's quite an interesting and very frightening situation. And then he goes on, as I said, I'm paraphrasing, and then we'll get to the specifics in a few minutes. And then he said, Timothy, no matter how bad it looks, that is the encouraging part. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You know, in other words, the Satan and all his forces against God and his Christ and the church, they will not have the last word. So when he says, realize this, take note of this, the last day is going to be difficult. It's going to be perilous. It's going to be dangerous. And they will come. And therefore, the church should be ready for it. And then that's what he's trying to say here. And therefore, Christians have a lot to do. So, Paul was telling Timothy was that the pagan system that he was living in, the Greco-Roman systems around him, were beginning to influence him. And that he must not focus on these things. And even what is happening in this bigger society. But he was saying that if the church is not careful, these things begin to encroach on the life of the church. And we are witnesses to all this. In other words, I think I've mentioned over again about false teaching that is going on. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. And then he goes on to say that indeed, these include forms of error and heresy. And Paul is saying that he's trying to influence Timothy's mindset, that you know he'll be able to hold on to it, because in the Christian work, the ministry mindset is very, very important. And he was telling Timothy, it's not going to be safe, but and it's going to be even dangerous. And in that sense, he's calling Timothy that the Christian work is going to be a warfare, and therefore one should be very careful. So he, in a sense, encouraging the church also to become, to have the right attitude. He's saying that we must all become Bereans, in a sense. We must say the scriptures. When the pastor has finished preaching, I mean, I'm not saying on Sundays, questioning him, but yes, pastor, I've heard what you're saying, but I'm going back to the Bible to check. Because the Bible is our source. The Bible is our only foundation. And it's important for us. And so these are the things that is going on. And these days, the people are deluding people from many what is going on. And what is happening is that the truth is not just not told. The truth is told, but then it is mixed with things. And in it, whether it's truth that big, mixed with this small kind of false or heresy, it is still false. And that is what is happening. Because you hear a few good teachings in the Bible from preachers, and you find that, oh, this man is on the right track. But then suddenly you find that when you delve a bit more into what he's saying, you realize that the teaching is false, because there are many more things that they are trying to mix into the church and to deceive them. That is the whole purpose, to deceive them. And so he's saying that we should be careful. Also, and as we will see in a few minutes, the gospel will be attacked. The gospel of Jesus Christ they want to make it irrelevant. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is irrelevant. And indeed, from the end of the 19th century, Darwinism and hedonism and the liberal teachings have invaded the church, and we are all aware of that. We know that. I remember some time ago we were interviewing, in The Hague, where we used to live. We were interviewing some pastors for the church pastor position, and there were pastors who did not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. There were pastors who did not believe that there was creation. They were giving all kinds of scientific and all kinds of... They did not believe the creation story. And these are pastors walking around proclaiming to be godly men. And then, of course, all kinds of things. Very permissive attitude and all kinds of things. So these are the dominant issues that are happening. And today also, not only that, the society has become more and more permissive and liberal, and then we have declined in the area of chastity, and we say that education itself is being dominated by interest groups and entertainment. The whole TV system sells stories about children which are not even repeatable here in church, because that's what they are learning in schools today. So these are all the dynamics of the world today, and it's a lot of frightening. But then we have the encouragement that indeed, in as much as Timothy was to face these challenges, we today should be careful about them as well. So now let's see, verse 1. He says, and let me break the first part of the teaching is going to be on verses 1 to 7. Which we call the evidence of faithlessness. The evidence of faithlessness. As I said, Paul has given us all these things so that we will be able to confront these battles intelligently and also prayerfully, because we've been warned. So Paul had given instructions regarding apostasy in the past to Timothy. He did so in Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Let me read that, because I think 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to 3. 1 Timothy And he says, this is the warning that Paul was giving to Timothy. He says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So we see already Paul had given instructions to Timothy to regarding apostasy in the last days in the first epistle. Now as we turn to this chapter 1, verse 1 of this chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, we begin to say a few things which we want to talk about. The first thing he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. Perhaps we could say that if there was a period we call the narcissist age, self-love, self everything, myself, me and me, I and I, me and mine, this is the time. And that is what Paul is warning Timothy to take note of. That a time is going to come when men will simply love themselves more than anything else. And therefore, when self-love comes into the church, we know that we are in trouble. Self-love comes in, and therefore it is my decision. I said this, you do this, and that kind of stuff. And it is very dangerous situation that we find here, as Paul is warning them. So Paul is speaking and warning Timothy that a time will come when self-love itself may even be preached in the church as part of a teaching that, you know, it is not wrong to love yourself, God loves you and therefore love yourself and that kind of thing. And this is not what the Bible expects of us. When a person is in a state of being what you call lovers of themselves, then you can imagine what happens in a society. Everybody does perhaps what is right in his own eyes, because that's what I want. And perhaps we see it, even sometimes when we drive on the street, people will just, they zero in and do whatever they want, and they continue to do so. So that is what it's saying about here. Lovers of themselves, they are self-centered, narcissists, and without God, actually, that's what we should say. Without God, the danger is that we'll love ourselves more than anybody else. That is the human nature. Without God, we love ourselves more than anybody else. And I believe you've seen what goes on the TV chat shows. The absurd experiences that people talk about. The amusing bravado and all designed and they are all planned. And people watch television and they think that this is what we need to copy. But everything you see on television is planned. It's been practiced over and over again. And you see, sorry to say, a lot of young kids and girls, they start copying things which are not right. It's all part of the self-love thing. So you find people coming on TV or radio and everybody giving absurd experiences of themselves. It's all part of the self-love. It's me, I, me, mine. And it goes on and on. And he says, we should be very careful about this. And therefore, when we see many things on television, we don't need copy. Let's not copy these things. So Paul gives an example and he says, let this mind be in you. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, do not call it robbery. When he came down on earth here to serve us, he gave away everything. He gave even away the love that he could have had for himself, for our service, to think about lost souls, lost souls. So let's not deceive ourselves. The concept of self-love is a very dangerous one. In the same way, the world is promoting, the same thing about, I'm talking about self-love, the world is promoting what it calls self-esteem, you know. And in the Christian context, I think it's probably one of the most foolish ideologies and that has come on recent years. Probably one could say it's even disgusting. That self-love, self-esteem, and that wrecks every part of our existence. I'm in control, I must assert myself, I must project myself, I must be me and me and me. And this is what the self-lovers, lovers of themselves do. And that is what is happening. It is a kind of a fake situation that is coming to the church. That self-esteem, oh, this is self-esteem, this man is self-esteem, you know, is the worst form of self-love that we go on with happen. The next word, I'm not going to go through all the words, otherwise we'll spend the whole night here. What he says is also covetous. I'm just picking up a few. Covetous, it means lovers of money. And Paul is saying that, Timothy, be careful. The same situation will happen. There will be people who simply love money, unfortunately has led into the teaching of what we call the prosperity doctrine, which is around us today. And it goes on. And even evangelical churches, this is being preached, because covetousness has led to that. And they keep on saying that if God loves you, you don't have to be unhealthy. If God loves you, you don't have to be ever unhappy. If God loves you, you have to be wealthy. If God loves you, and if you have enough faith, you have everything you want. In fact, recently there was a book written in America, How to Be Rich and Have Everything You Ever Wanted. And that's what they are preaching in our world today. And unfortunately, in developing countries like ours, we are copying everything that we see around us. And it goes on. And so, if you're poor, they say that either you're doing something wrong or you're not trusting God enough. Where does it come from? But that's what the concept of covetousness and the lovers of money, that's what it leads into. Paul is saying all these things, not because but it's what they lead to. What they lead us to is what he's trying to talk about. I'll pick up a few more and then we'll move on. He says, boasters. Boasters. What does boasting mean? Boasting means, it stresses that of self-importance, proud, arrogant. That's what he's saying. A state of covetousness, all these combined. I mean, it's not just even, they're separated by themselves. All these come together, you know, and then sometimes we boast not only with our lips or mouth, and we concede around us. What kind of house do I live in? What kind of car do I drive? What kind of job do I have? What kind of title do I have? You know, these are those who boast. This is what leads into. And the point is that people who boast and the proud people that come along, they become very unteachable. Because anybody who is proud, it's very difficult to teach that person. And therefore, it's a serious challenge in the church and also even in the home. And that's what he's trying to say to us. It's important that we take note of what is. This is what he's saying the last days will reveal. The last days will bring about. And we have to take note of that as well. Blasphemers. Oh, blasphemers. Blasphemers, not because they speak words against God, but they are abusive. The language, not only in the street, but even in the church. This is what he's saying to us, that in the last days, we should be careful. There are people who become abusers, they become blasphemers, not only those who use profane words against God and the rest of it, but they are also abusive. Even another one, again, he says, they become, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. We always look at the Ten Commandments, and we say that that's only a commandment of a promise. And disobedient to parents is when we reject the spiritual authority of parents. And everybody in the society does what he wants. The book of Judges, that's what happens. The disobedient parent. But I must say that God did not put this there for the fun of it. He is saying that when we respect our parents, it has implications as to how we also lead to our service and dependence upon God. And the more I thought about it, that's what I came to. That it's not demanding the respect of parents for nothing, but that our ultimate trust in God comes from the fact that, in Jesus Christ, comes from the fact that even when we're young, we were obedient to our parents. And therefore, when we're obedient to even a human authority, it also leads to our obedience to a spiritual and higher authority. So when he talks about disobedient to parents, it wasn't just put there for the fun of it. It is important that we go on to take note of this. And today, the situation is worse and worse. Children are disobedient. They do whatever they want. And in fact, in the developed countries, we have parents, we have situations where children are, they go to court and at some stages they even divorce their parents. And I pray to God that we do not have these things here. And therefore, many more things. One or two more and then we'll move on. And he says, without natural affection, I think, was it first chapter 1 of Romans, talks a lot about this, that there will be time when people have relationships without natural affection. This actually hinting on the recent phenomenon of homosexuality, lesbianism, and nowadays they call LGBTQ. I don't know what stands, they say Q, I don't know what stands for, or any combination, whatever it is. And that's what the world is leading to. And people are promoting this, not only in the open space, but also even in the church. I heard of a homosexual church in America. They have come together because they realize that the world will not accept them. They have their own church. And these are the last days. And we pray to God that these not become part of our society. These are things that I believe every church once in a while we should run through this long list and really warn ourselves as to what God is doing with us here. So these are people who, what the Bible says, what it says, they are without natural affection. Very sad. And it goes on. And there are many more that we can talk about. And of course, it goes on. It says, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. Lovers, I'm just skipping because there are so many more. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 4. You know, it's me again. You know, you want to have everything that you want and do what you want, but God is in the back burner. Put God on the side. And in fact, what it means is that we are trying to mold God in our own image, way, in our image, as a matter of fact. God should sit there and then we'll do our own thing. And when there's leftovers, we can go back to this God that we want. That's what the society is leading to. And it's a scary thing. Lovers themselves, and today we know of the billions of dollars spent on entertainment, movies and soccer and athletic events and whatnot. All of these, you know, it's just the self-love that we are promoting. And sometimes when I don't watch TV, I watch TV maximum 2 hours, even that the TV puts me to sleep anyway. But the point is that what I see is that when I sometimes turn onto some of the football matches, for example, and skimming through and running through them, you see 80,000 people watching television. And look at how many of us sitting here tonight. 80,000 people watching in the stadium, and they are in frenzy just because there's a little ball and 11 people are kicking it on one side, 11 kicking on the other side, and the whole world spent millions and millions on this. And you keep wondering what went wrong, what's happening to us. I had a friend who was when we were in The Hague. He was a Liverpool supporter, and at the beginning of the year, he buys all his tickets, the football matches. And he buys all his tickets, not just a ticket to travel, but he buys all his tickets for the football matches. So every weekend, he's off, flying over. Of course, there was just a short hop, less than 45 minutes, you are in there, and they go for people spending millions of dollars on entertainment, and it becomes the fashion. It's all part of it. And this is what the Bible says in the last days could happen. Verse 5, a few more things. He says, having a form of godliness by denying the power thereof. And what does he say? From such turn away. Having a form of godliness. Sometimes when I have a difficult situation, I look at my wife and I said, is it me who's getting too old? Or is the system which has changed? Then, you know, she'll give me a sign and say, well, maybe the fault is yours this time, you know. But the point is that we are in a situation where we are using the name of God in every sentence, in every situation. As if we are holier than, probably as they always say, than any Christian. But the point is that they display a form of godliness, and yet they do not believe a word of what this God is about. And so they have a form of godliness. The name of God is used in vain. How are you today? Oh, Adumarakwa. Yes, Adum. Oh, by God's grace. Oh, the gift of God. God has given us the day. Go out there and ask any person passing by there and ask him, how are you today? And the first thing will say, oh, by God's grace, I'm fine. Does he mean it? Does he live it? Does he have any impact on him, or just a sentence, or just a way to speak? This is a challenge that we face here. We have a form of godliness, and yet we deny the power of it. That's what he's saying, that will happen in the last days. And as I said, if you turn on television any time of the week, 80% of the time, you can be sure people who are preparing to be Christians and will fall precisely to what Paul is speaking about here. And you will not hear them even referring to the Bible or preaching anything about God's word and that kind of stuff. And it goes on. In fact, the world is changing so much so that, you know, for the last 100 years, the Christian church is being told that, the church is a business. That's what they're being told. The church is a business, so let's make it like a business. And in business, what do? Well, the business, you have a product, and the product is the gospel. So that's what they're saying, the product is the gospel. And then he said, we need consumers. The consumers are the unsaved, and therefore what do? We need to give the gospel like a product. So this is what the world system does. And without and ignoring God's power at work and the Holy Spirit work to convince and convince people the work, we go about with all kinds of strategies. We even, that's what goes on in many churches. And the strategies of all sorts, do this, do that, and really not speaking the word as it is. It's a challenge. And we need to examine our culture, what's happening here, and what we need to take hold of. And in America, sometimes the encouraging people to bring their children to school, to Sunday school. You know what they said? The church says, "Oh, bring your child to school because we offer yoga here. Bring your child to school while your child is waiting. You're going through the Sunday school. We will give you yoga." When did the Christian church have to do anything with yoga? Where is their God? So what I'm saying is that there are a lot of things that are happening which we need to be very careful, much careful about. And the danger is that when we do not know, and that's a warning that Paul was giving to Timothy, when we do not know, and the church also is not warned, the danger is that we become so ignorant. And ignorant in the sense that people take advantage. And that is the whole purpose of the whole thing. He's warning us about these things. People don't know what's going on, and therefore people take advantage of that. And there was a case when in Uganda, there was one pastor, a lady who I think he had AIDS, and the lady said, "Okay, bring your Mercedes Benz and we'll pray for you and your AIDS will go." And of course, the woman was keen to be healed, so she brought in her Mercedes Benz and gave it to the pastor. After 6 months, she went to check and she was still having the same problems. And of course, went back to asking for the car to be returned. Of course, the pastor refused to return the car. What I'm trying to say is that people are being taken advantage of because many of them do not have understanding of what the Word of God is saying to us. And therefore, there are a few things I want to say. Well, I'll just say two more things. And that is that what tactics do they use to bring to infiltrate the church? What tactics do they use? And this is where we Christians, we need to have what they call spiritual in discernment. If I were to go through all the lists, as I said, we'll spend the whole day here. But these are just to warn us about what happens in the last days. People having a form of godliness, denying the power of it, and then I'll say, he said, from such turn away. So the people design all kinds of tactics. And unfortunately today, in our so-called modern Ghana, we have very highly educated people, men and women, and they all have their own prophets. You know, they are being told that you need a prophet to guide you, you need a prophet to manage your life, and this is what is going on. So maybe I should have about 3-4 prophets who tell me how to handle home affairs, who tell me how to handle life here and there. And that is what is going on. The deception is coming is great. All because people are not aware of what is being said in the Bible, or people even do not take time to study their word, the word of God, and therefore they go about teaching people all kinds of things which the Bible do not mention. As I said, I will mention a few and we'll stop. The first thing is that they take advantage of people by preaching false gospel to them. They take advantage of people and do not speak the truth to them. The gospel is not spoken truthfully to them. And that is one of this situation. There are situations where people are also, the Bible says, they are also unstable in their relationship with God. In other words, sometimes people are not even certain about their salvation in Christ Jesus. And therefore, today they are there, next day they are there, and you see them hopping from place to place, trying to find Christ. And in the process, they are taken advantage of. So that's one way that we see people having all these kind of situations. And then, of course, there are many Christians also who have lived lives but have not really, sometimes they have sins and burdens on their hearts for which they have not confessed. And therefore, they weigh them down. They weigh them down with sin. I think Paul talks about that here. That he says he weighs them down. They are weighed down with sin. And once we have this, there's a danger that we can also be taken advantage of. And it goes on in the in the Christian world, and well, what I call the Christian world. And we need to be very careful about this as well. Then, of course, there are a few other issues that we need to. The question is, how do we check our Bibles? How do we check our Bible reading? How do we question what we hear? The fact that somebody is here in a suit saying this to you does not mean that everything they're saying must be right. The Bible is our plumb line, and therefore we need to see the Bible going on. But the unfortunate thing is that because of education, because of theological schools and whatnot, people keep on saying all kinds of things which can bring a lot of confusion. Some people are saying that we are always reforming. What is that? And it's going on. People are saying we are always reforming. In other words, they are this today, tomorrow they are that, next day they are this. And yet, this Bible has not changed. You know, there's a group in America and Britain, they call them Semper Reformada. I think it's Spanish. Means always reforming, Semper Reformada. They are always reforming. They are always reforming. And many Christians fall prey into this kind of teaching. And also, Paul was telling Timothy that there are things that you should look for among the false prophets. And what they do, and I've listed a few things I want to highlight to you. What they do is that they tell you that they are better than the preachers. They are better than those who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the false preachers will tell you. That's the first thing they say. Second, they will tell you that yes, we believe the Bible, but we'll go more than the Bible. Anybody who tells you that he can take you beyond what this Bible offers, please take your bags and run. That's what is happening. There are many who are doing that today. And then, of course, there are many also who will not teach the truth. The truth that we know in typical fundamentalist teaching, no, or reformed teaching. Yes, they say the truth is not what we're looking for, but we'll tell you some form of truth. Truth, which is who they define it, not based upon the Bible. And of course, the worst part of it is that, oh, I'm going to help you. It is all through me. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, his name is never mentioned. And they put all this into and of course, if they don't mention Jesus Christ, the cross is also not mentioned. And they will tell you that finally that they have a better way. Anyone who tells you has a better way than this for you to reach God and to reach Christ, be very careful. That is a situation that is being peddled in our societies today. And so what is the answer to all this? The answer to all this, I think, can be found in chapter 4 in 2 Peter, the one we just read. And I will just read the first two verses. 2 Peter chapter 4, the first two verses.
So the answer to all this, whereas we talk about the scripture being the inspiration of God and everything, which all of us should memorize and keep. He says, I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is almost like an oath. He's charging Timothy before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And listen to the verse 2. Preach the word. Preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Let me just say one or two words here and I'll finish. Given the situation that we are facing today, the dangerous and perilous situation that we have, and all the characteristics that have been described by Paul to Timothy, Paul is saying that the answer to all this, and his advice to them, that the word of God must be preached. And I thank God for this church, that the word of God must be preached in its entirety. This afternoon, my sister was visiting, and she was watching the TV, and I just passed by to see. And there was a man on TV who said that he's been called by God to preach. And how was he called? He said he was called in a dream. He was called, which dream? Oh, in the dream, which was doing some things, and somebody interpreted the dream as God's calling. What kind of calling is that? We should be very careful. So, it's only salvation comes through the preaching of the word of God. He says what? Preach the word. Which word? God's word. Not fables. Not stories. Not gimmicks. He says we should preach God's word, pointing people to Jesus Christ. No stories that lead to itching ears, like Paul said some time ago to Timothy. People want to hear stories, itching stories. What is this? Do you know this mystery? Do you know how you do this? Go to some mountain to pray. Go to wherever to do this and that. All these things are the deception, things of the devil, trying to deceive and to confuse Christians. And if we are confused and we are not aware of what God is teaching us, then of course the things of the last days will come unto us. So, today the churches, what he's saying here, the last bit, he says, be instant in season, out of season. So it's a challenge for all of us as Christians, that wherever we are, we must be ready for the propagation of the gospel. If you can't speak, take a tract with you and carry a tract in your car or in your pocket or whatever and give it to someone. He said, not just always, not season like our Sundays, but weekdays, out of season. But what he's saying here is that the church must reprove. If we do what is wrong, the church must reprove us. But today, who wants to be reproved? You reprove somebody and he picks his bag and says, I'm not coming back. That's what's happening in most churches today. Reprove, rebuke. And of course, he said we should exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's what the church should be doing. And today, confession is thrown out the window. You go to a church, you hear the gospel, you never hear the word about confessions. So, church members, one more last sentence I'll say and I'll sit. That the perilous times will come, and they are here, and they get worse and worse day after day. But what God has given to us is that we know, and therefore the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. But until Christ comes, these characteristics will prevail. And therefore we should not be disappointed, we should not be discouraged. In a sense, we'll be forewarned that these are the things that is going to come. And therefore we should take courage in our Christian walk, our prayers in the mornings, in our lives, or daytimes, our Bible reading, not just casual reading of the Bible, but really going through in depth and trying to understand. Even if it's just a verse that gives you a good meaning one day, take that. Take our Bible reading seriously. And the Bible says the end will come. And when God comes, when Jesus Christ comes, then the perilous time will end. Until he comes, these are what I call the last days. When he appears, then there will be no perilous time. But he will take over and do what he intends to do. Judgment and restoration and joy for those who have believed. May the Lord bless his word to us and encourage us in our Christian walk. These are trying times in our country and all over the world. We pray that He will bless us and grant us His grace as we seek to serve Him. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.